Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the prophecy module. We are in part two. And as we go through this, I'm going to keep saying it. Ask the Lord, Lord, increase my heart to walk in this wonderful operation of God. The church is so in need of New Testament inspirational prophecy. And so that's got to be our prayer. Let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, as we go into this lesson right now, part two, we're asking that you would increase us in order to take hold of what your kingdom offers us so that we can get the advantage in the earth. Father, we worship and love you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pick up with number five, prophecy. The Lord encourages and comforts Paul. Acts 18:9-10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not your peace. I am with you. Now kind of circle that word, be not afraid, and the word, I am with you, that little phrase. No man shall set upon you to hurt you. I have many people in this city. Note, there is nothing like the voice of the Lord speaking into the hearts of his people. Paul's road was not an easy one. Therefore, there was great need for continual encouragement and comfort. Here in this passage, we have multiple gifts working alongside the simple gift of prophecy, such as the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The simple words, be not afraid, I am with you, set Paul's heart to rest. It strengthened and comforted. Oh, as he went forward in the direction of the Lord, he was going forward with a heart that was stabilized and strengthened in the Lord's presence. How? Through this wonderful, wonderful gift and operation. You know, and one thing you have to understand is every one of these charisma operations of the Holy Spirit, whether it's word of wisdom, all the way down to tongues and interpretation, they all carry an operation or a measure of the glory of God. So therefore, these are supernatural gifts or operations of God. They don't come from the natural intellect. They come by the Spirit of God out of the glory realm of the throne of God. And that's why they are so potent. They literally break up darkness and establish the kingdom of God. So we really need these in operation. Let's go to number six, prophecy, the 12 Ephesians, Acts 19:6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. Note, once again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is both seen and heard. That day, outside the boundaries of the land of Israel, these men experienced the reality of being in Christ. As the Holy Spirit descended upon them, divine utterances began to flow out, both in foreign tongues, as well as words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I am sure these 12 men never forget the day that Paul came to town. And I'm sure they were telling their grandkids about that, you know, later on in life, about, you know, receiving that wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit, that baptism of God's power, and then the wonderful words that they weren't coming from their mind. They were coming from heaven. And it was wonderful. But the powerful thing about it is this is all happening outside the boundaries of Israel. And so we see that God hasn't changed. And through the power of the preaching of Christ, God is bearing fruit all over the earth. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And so that's so wonderful. Let's go to number seven. Prophecy, the daughters of Philip to Paul. Now, we've talked about this a little bit, but we need to go over it because I really think there's so much to learn as we look at this example, you can't hear this example too many times, because this really helps you with clarity to rightly define the difference between a prophet operating in revelation gifts versus just wonderful believers of the Lord who have an operation of New Testament inspirational prophecy. So let's look at Acts 21, verse 9. And the same man, being Philip, he had four daughters. They were virgins, and they did prophesy. Note, in this passage, we see the purpose for which the Holy Spirit diverted Paul's trip away from Jerusalem temporarily over to Caesarea. The Lord needed to fortify Paul's heart before going to Jerusalem. Obviously, Paul was about to enter one of the greatest storms of his life and ministry as the winds of the Holy Spirit began to blow, moving the great apostle to Rome. There is nothing like the operation of prophecy, which edifies, exhorts, and comforts the human heart. Now, you're probably saying, boy, he says that over and over and over. You need to hear it over and over and over. New Testament prophecy edifies, exhorts, and comforts. And that is so needed in the body of Christ. I mean, think about your own self. Don't you love it when someone comes with some encouragement for you? I mean, the world we live in is probably 99% static information or negative information. And then all of a sudden, when something encouraging comes, isn't it wonderful? How much more when it comes from heaven with a measure of the glory of God coming right from his throne? Okay, there is nothing like the operation of prophecy. We're going to say it again because you need to hear it. It edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts the human heart. The essence of this gift brings the voice of the Father into the home of the human heart. With the result, it's always miraculous. It's not hard to understand why Paul urged the church to fervently desire this gift above all others. And I think it's important to go back into Matthew chapter 14. And here's Peter. He's screaming for fear. They see Jesus walking on the water. They think he's a ghost. And all of a sudden, Jesus just begins to release simple words. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. It's I. Now, you think those are simple words, but when Jesus speaks those words, I mean, we're talking about the word that created the ends of the earth. When he speaks those words, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Let me tell you, there are no words like that when he speaks them. And so all of a sudden, he speaks these simple words that edify, exhort, and comfort these apostles, these disciples. And all of a sudden, Peter stops screaming and he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of this boat and start walking on the water. And Jesus said, come. That's how powerful his words are. Just one word, come. Come on out. And so Peter began to walk on water. So this wonderful gift, it changed the atmosphere or the operation of fear in Peter's heart, okay? It changed it from fear into faith and miracles. Now you know why this charisma gift is so important to the body of Christ. Somebody at your church on Sunday, you have no idea, could be so full of fear, and all it takes is one word from God, and it changes everything. Now, churches that don't really spend time praying together corporately most likely are not going to see a lot of this in operation. The New Testament church, as we talked about in the prayer module, was a prayer-based church. It wasn't a program-based church. The church in the West, during the time that we live in, it's a program-based church. And it's very little prayer. There is prayer. People say prayers, but there's not a spirit of prayer, a spirit of corporately waiting on the Lord and seriously receiving this commission, or receiving the commission he's given to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And this can only happen through corporate waiting on the Lord and praying, and in praying for each other. The Bible commands it. And so a lot of churches, they just come and they leave, and there's almost no praying for each other. And that's another problem. It weakens the local church. Number 8, let's continue. The Lord comforts Paul's heart. Here we go again. Paul needs comfort. Acts 23, verse 11, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. As you have testified of me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness also at Rome." Note, the Lord spoke such comfort into Paul's heart by declaring, "Be of good cheer." Remember, when the Lord says this, it's coming with a measure of glory out of the heavenly realms. It is the entrance of his word that brings light, life, joy, peace, and everything good. This simple gift carries with it the assurance of the ever watchful care of our great shepherd. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-9. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? Because the God who speaks into darkness and commands light to shine, the entrance of his word brings light. And I'm telling you, you know, here's Paul. He is going forward with the gospel, and he needs encouragement continually. And boy, does God bring it. He just speaks, "Hey, Paul, be of good cheer." Oh, those simple words. Remember, God began creation with light be. Those are two words, but it kicked everything into operation. So when the Lord just says something simple like, "Be of good courage," oh my goodness, he can start creation over with just those words. Sell out. Take hold of those words. Hold on to them. They have everything you need to accomplish the will of God. Very powerful. Let's go to number 9, prophecy, comfort spoken into Paul's heart. Acts 27, 23 and 24. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all of them that sail with you.'" Note, their being in the storm was not a part of God's original plan. Paul warned them, but they ignored him. Now Paul, en route to somewhere, is beginning to wonder whether God's plan has been ruined by the men who had been given charge over him. Probably the devil was sitting there day after day, day and night actually, telling Paul that this was the end for him. This all changed when the angel appeared and spoke simple words of comfort into Paul's heart. "Fear not." I am reminded of the disciples in a similar situation on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was walking on the water, and the disciples, full of fear, thought he was a ghost until Jesus simply spoke, "Fear not, it's I." These simple words changed the atmosphere in Peter's heart and launched him into the realm of miracles. Peter, because of what happened in his heart, was now enabled to get out of the boat and walk on water. Actually, water with waves. Never underestimate the importance of prophecy. Simple words spoken can change the atmosphere in a man's heart from fear to faith. One final thought concerning this passage is that different gifts can work together at the same time. As simple words of prophecy were released to Paul's heart, then there came the word of wisdom confirming that his destination would be Caesar. Not Rome, but Caesar. Oh, my goodness. And so you say, well, Brother Eric, you've talked about this many times. Well, I don't think we can talk enough about these examples, even going back to Jesus walking on the water, because we need to get these on the inside of us, because you're going to face something and you're going to go back to this and say, you know what? I remember what was in that lesson. And you know what? I can make it through this. I'm learning. And so that's why we keep stressing. We continue to go over. We continue to repeat so that it gets on the inside of every student that's listening. Oh, praise God. And let's go to number 10, prophecy. Paul uses the word of wisdom in a prophetic operation to encourage their hearts. Now, this is amazing how God, by the Holy Spirit, does this. Acts 27, 34 to 37, Paul says, therefore I pray to take some food, for this is for your health. For there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had spoken, he took the bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 276 souls. So that's 376 people. 376. That's amazing. Or 276. 276. Note, only a supernatural gift of inspiration can change the atmosphere in the hearts of 276 desperate, exhausted, and hungry men. Paul, under an anointing of the Holy Spirit, uses revelation from the words spoken earlier to encourage the hearts of all those listening. The inspirational gifts, which carry a measure of the glory of the Lord, exhort and comfort the hearts of men, even in certain cases where men are not Christians. The Lord's compassion was for all, not just for Paul. The chief gift in this operation was the gift of faith, being administered by the presence of the angel of the Lord. The word of wisdom and the simple words of prophecy were hooked into this overriding operation of God's faith as the wind of the Holy Spirit was propelling Paul to Rome. And you need to think about that, because a lot of times these gifts of the Holy Spirit operate like kind of like a train, and there's different boxcars connected. And so the Holy Spirit can do the same with these operations, these charisma operations. And so in this particular example, you have Paul. He's supposed to go to Rome, but there's a problem. There's a storm coming. He begins to warn everybody. They don't listen to him. They're in charge. They have the authority as pertaining to Rome, Roman authority, human authority, which is real authority. You know, that's why the Bible says pray for your leaders. That's why the Bible says obey good laws, right laws, right? Don't be in rebellion, because human authority does come from God. And so Paul was subjugated to this authority. He warned them by the Spirit of God. They could have changed, but they decided, no, we're going to go forward in this direction. And so they got into this huge storm. And so God had to come in with the operation of power called the gift of faith in order to preserve that boat, that they were not destroyed. And so that angel comes down, his presence, just like the presence of the angel in the lion's den. Those lions, they're not coming near Daniel, or the angel in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children. Those flames were afraid of those three men. They didn't smell like smoke. They weren't burned. I mean, it was fine. And so it is here. I mean, there's waves, there's wind, all of that, but they are preserved in the power of God. But in that, there can be other operations of these charisma gifts. And in this case, you see the word of wisdom. And there also then is this New Testament inspirational prophecy that brings edification, comfort, exhortation. And so you see, not only is God speaking to Paul, but then Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, takes that word of wisdom, and then it begins to administrate into the hearts of the people to comfort them. And you got to slow down and just look at this, how this operates in the glory of God. It's wonderful. Well, that is the last example of New Testament prophecy in the book of Acts. But thank God it's not the last example in church history. And even now, even in my own history, in my own ministry, and in the ministries of people that I know, this wonderful gift, it comes into operation, and it's so important. It's never changed. God has never changed. The Holy Spirit has never changed. If they needed encouragement 2,000 years ago, let me tell you, we're at the end of time. We need encouragement too, because we've got a work to do. We got a job to finish. We have a harvest to bring in. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for prophecy. We thank you that we've learned today the difference between prophecy in a general sense and the specific New Testament inspirational prophecy. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts. We desire this. And so, Father, we ask that you would use our heart and our mouth in order to speak words that help encourage people. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.